Famous Businessman versus Famous Businessman for President. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The man who is arguably the most famous investor in America went after Republican Donald Trump yesterday. Warren Buffett, financial guru and chairman of Berkshire Hathaway, appeared at a Hillary Clinton rally in his home state of Nebraska. There he called on Mr. Trump to release his tax returns, something the Republican candidate says he cannot do because of ongoing IRS audits. But Buffett said he's under audit as well. However,
I would be delighted to meet him anyplace, anytime between now and election. I'll bring my tax return. He could bring his tax return.
Buffett proposes that in such a venue, both can then answer questions about the tax returns. Mitchell Hartman is following this from the Marketplace desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting. Tell me more about this.
Well, so as billionaire businessman to billionaire businessman, I guess you'd say, Buffett said this. First, he dissed Donald Trump's business acumen and record, saying, this is a quote, a monkey throwing darts at stock pages in 1995 would have come out ahead of anyone who actually invested in Mr. Trump's Atlantic City hotel stock that year. Then he went on to challenge Trump to release his tax returns, the way every presidential candidate since Richard Nixon, with the exception of Gerald Ford, has. And, you know, as we heard, he challenged Trump to appear in public and they can answer questions about their tax returns together.
All right. But about these returns, Donald Trump has argued that he's not going to release them because of this ongoing audit and that he has legal advice that it's a bad idea to release them.
Right. I spoke with Robert and Williams. He's at the Nonpartisan Tax Policy Center. And here's what he told me. He said, yes, tax lawyers will always advise a client to take the least risky path. And that's probably not to do anything to jeopardize the case. Although, as he pointed out, the IRS already knows what's in Donald Trump's tax returns. It's not like that's going to be a big surprise. He said that, you know, as a citizen, you're free to release your returns. The IRS has actually said during the campaign there's no reason from a legal perspective that Donald Trump couldn't release his tax returns. And what it would do is give the public more information about his income, his charitable donations, and his effective tax rate.
Mitchell Hartman, thank you. And Donald Trump is highlighting his campaign's fundraising tally from the month of July, $35 million through smaller donors, 517,000 of them, he said, at a rally yesterday in Columbus, Ohio. He asked, how incredible is that? Average donation, $69. Trump said the July tally is higher when you add in big donors, $51 million. Hillary Clinton raised $68 million last month. Social media has become a powerful tool for extremists to spread hate and recruit. Now comes word several big tech companies are experimenting with videos aimed at deterring would-be extremists. Marketplace's Rima Crace reports.
For 15 years, Tony McAleer considered himself a white supremacist.
You're going to join this great noble cause to save the white race from extinction.
Now, McAleer runs Life After Hate, a nonprofit. Last year, he made four videos that were funded by Facebook, Twitter, and Google to motivate people to leave hate groups. They were targeted to users based on terms like white power. Other videos were targeted to young Muslims based on words like Sharia.
Do not be confused by what the extremists say, that you must reject the new world.
The videos were part of a month-long study by the Institute for Strategic Dialogue to help gauge the effectiveness of counter-narratives online. Clay Calvert teaches communications at the University of Florida. He says the videos come with a risk.
You may take offense by that and saying, whoa, why did I get this? I'm not trying to join this group. I'm just trying to learn more.
It's unclear just how effective the videos were, but after they ran, McAleer with Life After Hate says eight people approached his group asking for help. I'm Rima Crace for Marketplace.
You may have seen the mayor of Detroit at the Democratic convention last week touting the seeds of a turnaround in his troubled city. With its bankruptcy behind it, Detroit still has daunting challenges, where about 15,000 homes are up for foreclosure this year because of non-payment of taxes. From Detroit, Eilish O'Neill has the story.
Warren Hicks remembers clearly the day he got the foreclosure notice on his front porch.
I knew it was in that yellow package. I see them all the time, the foreclosed letters. I was embarrassed and furious about it. Then when I looked down the street, they was on everybody's door. It was crazy. You know, what's going on?
The answer is that nearly 40% of Detroiters live below the poverty line. In many cities, poor people rent, but the home ownership rate here is high. After the 2008 housing crash, it took the city of Detroit 5 years to start reappraising homes, and poor homeowners like Hicks, who lives on disability, struggled to pay their taxes. Over the past decade, there have been more than 100,000 tax foreclosures in Detroit.
We call it a tsunami without water because it was a devastating experience that occurred here.
Dave Szymanski's Detroit's treasurer. He says people as poor as Warren Hicks actually qualify for a poverty exemption and shouldn't have to pay taxes at all. But because of red tape,
people who could have applied for them and had their taxes waived didn't take advantage of the program until the taxes were already on the tax roll.
Szymanski says Mayor Mike Duggan's been working on legislation to grant those exemptions retroactively. But for now, homes are on the auction block. And Feely's with the Detroit Eviction Defense, which holds a weekly meeting with homeowners. She says those auctions make very little money.
It would be better if they used the federal monies, like the hardest hit funds, to keep people in their homes. It's really not in the interests of the city of Detroit to depopulate these neighborhoods by kicking people out of their homes. It's senseless.
Feely says vacancies lower home values even more, which leads to even more foreclosures. Wayne County is trying to work out monthly payment plans with delinquent homeowners, but if they can't make those payments, they'll be back on the foreclosure list next year. In Detroit, I'm Alicia Neal for Marketplace.
And here's proof that the real estate conglomerate controlled by China's richest person is really interested in movies. Dalian Wanda bought a controlling stake in the Hollywood studio Legendary Entertainment. It owns the AMC theater chain in the U.S. It's trying to buy Carmike Cinemas here. And there is word today that Wanda is now partnering with IMAX to help put the huge screens in front of more moviegoers in China. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.